afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pat Bay Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. You can go by and see him at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or give him a call at 226-9226, or get him on the web at papaymachinery.com.
There you have it.
There you go.
Okay, so our guest today is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He is out of Arizona. And you can find all of his information, including the video casts that we've been talking about that are at Prescott E! News. You can get all that at wethepeopleradio.us. I've added that already to the page, so that's all on there for you. And he has a little time crunch, so we're going to roll with him until he has to leave. So we won't we won't do a million breaks. We'll just run with you until you got to go.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I forget where we were at, to be honest with you. I got disconnected because we had a storm here and snow and all that, and it just disconnected us.
I think it's coming for us today or tomorrow. That's what they keep talking about, but you never know.
Yeah, well, we all need the water, don't we?
Yeah. Well, what do we fight about, though? If we got a bunch of water, we'd be all confused. Nothing to fight about. They come for our whiskey next. Oh, my God. We better keep fighting about the water. What have people, I mean, we've been hearing about this, all the voter fraud, and there are all these, not declarations, what do I want to say, the people coming forward and giving you guys information, but you're finding that those declarations or whatever they're called are super credible in Arizona thus far.
Okay, I'm not being difficult, but...
I can say that, but you can't.
Well, no. What are you referring to?
Well, the people that are coming forward and talking about what has happened with the election. So you guys have enough. I was kind of recapping. Like, you have enough information to go forward and investigate this.
Yes, sometimes, I mean, besides playing around, I love doing that. You guys have known me over the years. I love doing that, but I'm also a what-is-is guy, so I was listening to what you were saying, and I wasn't quite clear what you're asking, and I wasn't about to answer something that's a little nebulous.
In case we play it on the loop forever?
Yeah. The affidavits that were presented, and there were a number of them, well, of course they were credible because people were coming forward with affidavits at the sake of penalty of perjury. So they're not going to sign an affidavit and have it notarized when you have the potential of perjury staring at you. But we've gone beyond that. There was an argument, I think valid, very early on, that affidavits alone would not suffice in opening up a full forensic evaluation, having the legislature do things that we're asking it to do. Again, let me just say that no one has been down this road before. So no, we were moving in uncharted territory. But beyond the affidavits, we have now gone ahead and have secured actual evidence that strongly shows fraud occurred. And I can, what I can say is, at least in Maricopa County, I can't discuss other counties, I don't know, other states. However, in conferring with other states, the pattern is identical. Now, with what came forward to me 72 hours ago, 72 hours, somewhere in there. Our manuals and documents that clearly demonstrate the Dominion people went ahead and held a training session, actually a couple of them, prior to the elections. And in those training sessions, there are written statements in the manuals suggesting how votes can be altered, ballots can be altered, and to me, that's pretty damning.
Yeah, I mean, if they've gone to the length of actually putting that in print and putting that out there for folks, obviously
the
they wanted that to happen. Now, whether people did it or not, I think that's where we're going to run into a snag.
Yes, and what I will say, no kidding, all kidding aside, is stay tuned. I don't know when I'll do another Arizona Today this week because I'm going to be down in Phoenix. I'm in Prescott. I'm about an hour away from Phoenix. And I'm going to be in Phoenix because it does appear that the forensic team will be on the ground in Phoenix meeting with leadership of the state Senate this week. And in the course of that, the evaluations will be launched. And like I said, it takes 60 hours, 72 hours complete, but 60 hours, and we will know with a high degree of certainty whether or not fraud occurred and what was found.
Just out of curiosity, are you finding that the county clerk, you know, I mean, I don't know how you would do this without the county clerk and the Secretary of State really playing into it. I know you can't say whether people did something or didn't do something, but what you guys have looked at as far as how the machines can be changed and the training manual and that kind of stuff, does it involve players on the ground, or is this something that can be sort of phoned in, as they say?
Great question, Aaron, and it's both.
Sit back, Bill.
I know I love cutting up with you guys when we have a good time, but I'm trying to be very deliberate in what I'm saying here, and also in part because I'm not computer. I'm not a forensic person.
Sure. Forensic.
My background's in forensic behavioral analysis, threat assessment, all that stuff. But from what I have gathered and what I then submitted to the forensic people and what they have then interviewed and reviewed and what they sent back to me was, this is legit. Well, what is this? What the this is evidence that demonstrates that not only training, but the mechanism, the process has been uncovered as to how they altered votes. And if that's correct, and I haven't seen that part, I know what was said, I know what I relayed. There were a number of measurable factors that were given to me, and then I relayed them to the National Security auditing team. They have since validated what I've given them based on the individual. So that part's great. I'm glad it wasn't a waste of their time. I did my part to make sure that the person reporting all of this and coming forward was valid and not sensational and not a conspiracy theorist, etc. Once I did my part, I then turned it over to the computer people who really know how to cut and paste and do all sorts of forensic stuff. They then interviewed that individual, and I received confirmation back a couple of hours later that this is legit. They then made arrangements to fly into that particular state to meet that individual and to obtain the hard evidence. By the end of this day today, two forensic specialists will have the hard data, and they will then do whatever else they do, looking at it, playing with it, whatever. And
sure.
Then all of that will be presented this week in Arizona. From there, that will just further solidify the call for the subpoenas and for the review of the documents, the ballots, the machines, and all of that. If then, by doing the forensic audit, what turns up is what I suspect will turn up in Arizona, the election will have to be decertified. There is strong evidence that the same has occurred in 15 other states.
So if Arizona decides they want to decertify their election, how does that affect the certification on a federal level?
Well, I don't know. Because we've never been down this road before.
I know.
And there's smarter people than I who can answer that, Bill. My understanding, again, at a seventh grade level, is that if Arizona, the Senate, then uncovers the evidence that allows for the decertification, and then they move to decertify based on the evidence, not affidavits, opinions, even witnesses, which are important, don't get me wrong, but we're well past that. So now, it's sort of like a crime scene. Somebody says, hey, I think there was a shooting in that house. I heard this. I heard that. I did see somebody race away. That's all important stuff, don't get me wrong. And the person's testifying to that. That's really critical. But if you get all this affidavit, all this verbal, all this eyewitness, all of this information, and then you go into that house and there's no dead body, well, what do you got?
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, pencils.
Now let's say you go, but wait a minute, but you go in to a house. I used to be a police officer 100 years ago. And let me tell you, I give you the exact case that taught me this. We responded to a shots fired call, my partner and I. We went into the house. He was my training officer, my FTO. And we went in and we found a woman, down in an upstairs bedroom, bleeding, and a gun had been dropped or was next to the body by a couple of feet. You know, we cleared the house, made sure no one else was there, called medics, called her back. And we're standing there securing that, and I said, being young and naive, I said, well, I mean, this is pretty simple. I mean, she's deader than dead, which is true. I mean, I felt for a carotid. There was no pulse, but they can't pronounce it until they die. But she appears very, very dead and looks like a suicide. And, well, this is pretty simple. I'm not saying it's not sad. Don't go there, people. But it's pretty simple from the paperwork and this and that. My training officer turned to me and he said, how do you know this? I said, well, look. I mean, it's, he said, how do you know beyond a reasonable doubt that it was a suicide? What if somebody shot her, dropped the weapon next to her? Do you know that? I said, well, no. That's correct. So you don't assume facts not in evidence. You don't know what we have. All we have is a female down that appears dead and a gun next to the body. That's all we know. That's all we have measurably. It's going to require some forensic work, medical work. It's going to require ballistics work. It's going to require a number of other elements to make a determination beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, I tell you that story because this is the same thing here. We have growing evidence, not supposition, not somebody say, hey, I heard shots, I heard, but we have growing physical evidence now, which we didn't have 72 hours ago. If the physical evidence is valid and is able to be measured, in other words, we know that we know what it is and it can be measured and all, well, now that's a game changer. Now what we have, at least in Maricopa County, because that's what the evaluation is looking at, we now have the evidence to demonstrate that major fraud up to a national security level, because other nations are involved. We now have the evidence that requires a decertification again in Arizona. So that would require the state the Senate in this case, who did the spin, to decertify, to petition a special session, immediately get into session, immediately present all this evidence. It's public. You'll see it all. You'll hear it all. And then the state will decertify. Now, that's 11 electoral votes Arizona has right now. Well, if that occurs, you've got other states that have a very similar situation. And if the evidence that Arizona puts forward is that strong to the level of decertifying in Arizona, there's at least a hypothesis that other states will have the same thing. Because the information that I believe that will be put forward here now fits the other states. It's the same system. It's the same people who did the training. It's the same type of issue that we saw on election night with votes being tabulated that shouldn't have been, ballots counted and then there shouldn't have been, people who voted who should have never voted. We have now information about illegal people voting, dead people voting, machines altering votes. Like I shared with you earlier, you press one button or you circle a thing, you put it in, and it's registered 1.4. So Aaron votes for Biden. Her vote is 1.4. Bill votes for Biden. That's 1.4. Well, what is that? That's 2.8. It's almost three votes right there.
Yeah.
How do you do that? I mean, and we know that I'm being really simple at a seventh grade level, but we have sufficient cause to believe that occurred. Now what we need to do is prove that. I believe we now have the smoking guns that's going to prove that.
Nice. Well, I don't want to assume, but I'm guessing if they gave an increased weight factor to the Biden votes, they gave a decreased weight factor to the Trump votes?
That's correct.
I mean, it'd be kind of stupid if you didn't.
Yeah, and that's correct, Aaron. And we also have high reason to believe now, and we'll see if the evidence bears out, which we didn't have 12 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago. We now have high reason to believe that votes were taken from Trump and moved over to Biden. We also have reason to believe no votes were taken from Trump. Nobody did anything. Trump had 1,000 votes. I'm just saying this as an example.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 votes in Maricopa County. Well, then they shut down the voting because it's midnight and we need a rest. And Biden was behind 20,000 votes. So Trump was ahead by, let's say, 1,000 votes. This is just my hypothesis, my trying to make an example. He was ahead by 1,000. They shut it down for the night. They went to sleep. They woke up. They turn on the lights. They turn on the voting machines. Again, I'm being really elementary. And guess what? Biden was ahead by 100,000 votes. How do you do that?
That's kind of how it happened, though.
We
watched it.
Yep. Over and over.
In real time.
That's in real time. And they did it just the other couple of weeks ago in Georgia again with those two senators. They did the same thing. I mean, you would have thought by now they would have been far more cautious or not do it at all. But nope, they did the exact same thing. And people caught it all over the place.
Now, are people from... Okay, so the folks that you're working with, as far as the forensic folks, I'm assuming they can go to different states and work on this, but do they already have people in these different states? Is this a spread-out effort, or is it really kind of targeted in Arizona, and we're going to see how it rolls here first? Maybe yes, maybe no, huh? Come saw.
Yeah, they're aware of certain targeted states right now.
Okay.
They are, and legislatures in those states are now very much in tune with the legislatures now have the constitutional authority to do what is being done. Remember, weeks ago, legislators said, we can't do this. No, and the courts are saying, you can't do this. You don't have the right to subpoena, blah, blah, blah. They were all wrong. And one could argue from now until ad nauseum why. I think this is just my personal opinion. This is just me now. This is just me at my seventh grade level. I think there was a tremendous amount of collusion by courts, by other elected officials, by all sorts of folks who had something at stake for saying, oh, there's nothing here, move on. Don't investigate, sure. Don't look at anything.
Now, tell me this. Keep going.
And I think what's happened, one of the benefits, and that's the small b, B-E-N-E, is that what's become evident today, unlike 10, 12 weeks ago, is who's on which side. I think a lot of people have come forward and said, there's nothing here. You don't have the authority. Forget it. You're just sore losers. Up until including Mitch McConnell, majority leader in the U.S. Senate. I mean, these people are all, they're not leaders. They're positional leaders. They're in positions of leadership, but they're not leaders. And they've all capitulated. And shame on them. I pray they somewhere along the line have a grow a conscience, because I have to tell you, their actions are despicable, absolutely despicable.
Well, now that we've seated a new president, they got to get on the right side of things.
Right. And everybody's going to kind of retool their team.
Yeah.
Tell me this. Okay, so
right.
You have you listed off a whole bunch of stuff that we don't have to be, you know, we're not taking notes or anything, but you have the machines did some funky stuff. You have illegals voting. You have ballots that shouldn't have been counted, dead people. You've got kind of a shotgun of different things. If they prove that the machines cheated the vote, can they decertify the election based on that? Or do they have to basically come up with legitimate the number of votes that would... You know what I'm saying? Like, if you won by 10,000, do they have to come up with 10,001 to show that it was incorrect?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer. I mean that. I don't know.
Yeah, I just was curious because it's like...
No, it's a great
part
question.
Part of the genius of the cheating thing was they did so many things at the same time. And in most states, it looked like they didn't do enough of any one thing.
Yeah, no, that's a brilliant insight, Aaron. And that's what's become really evident the last couple of days now with what's been uncovered. But they did multiple things. I'm going to say this at a seventh grade level for all your listeners. I mean, this guy's really. But I'm trying to keep it simple because I got to tell you, this is terribly sophisticated.
Sure.
That's an oxymoron. But,
well, if you're going to flip a national election in our country, you better be fairly sophisticated, or that just says we're all dummies.
Well, when you consider that two satellites were involved, four nations were involved, they were able to change the vote. I don't know how you do this. I'm not smart. But as you voted, the vote changed. I don't know how that happens, but we now know that, and there's evidence, and that will come out. Somebody smarter than I, and I can bring him on. I'll bring them on. They're going to do my show first, but then I'll bring them on. But you'll like that because you can ask these questions, and they'll explain them to you in a way that will make sense. I'm telling you this. I can't explain it because it's really sophisticated, but they're smart enough. They can take your sophisticated question, answer in a sophisticated manner, but in a way that people will understand. I'm serious. They're just brilliant people, and they're really neat.
Well, I think this will take some of the frustration away from people, you know?
And there's what I've been trying to do, is we the people deserve some answers. We the people deserve to know that our electoral process is not compromised. Right now it is. It is compromised. We'll never have another election in the United States that's fair. That can't stand. So we need to get to the bottom of this. And I believe, by God's divine grace, some doors have just opened that will move us that much further down the road to get these definitive answers. This will be quite an eye-opening thing if what I have seen, what I've been told, just in the last 48 hours will bear out.
Nice.
My preliminary understanding is that the information that I turned over, the information that's since come forward, has bared the scrutiny. And so we're off to a really good start. That very smart people who are forensic people, cybersecurity people, will be able to get in and take a look at all this, and we'll get some answers.
Is this something that, you know, as you prove this out, does this have to go to a court? Is this done in court? Do you sue someone?
No.
Or is this something that's done in the legislature in a hearing?
You know, that's a whole separate, that's for smarter people than I, that's a whole separate issue, because right now what we're looking at is the decertification.
Sure, just
of
process.
Election. And that's, the legislature has the authority under the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, to do so.
Okay.
So
then when you want to hold, them, when you want to punish somebody, you take it to court.
That's a whole different venue. That's
sure.
correct. But right now, what we're looking at are national security issues and the decertification of the election.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, so for all the people that, and there's a lot of chatter out there, you know, from Joe being a hologram and a body double to the military is going to swoop in and we're going to have martial law and, you know, all this other, there's just a million crazy things being discussed. But this actually makes sense because it's been, this has been the problem from the start.
I told this audience yesterday, I spoke to about 500 people yesterday, and I said, I would really get off the internet. I mean, what you're reading on the internet, the preponderant majority is just, it gives me a headache. I don't do it, but I would just get off of it. You're getting misinformation. Now, some of it's being fed on purpose to create confusion,
right.
division. And what we have are socialists who have taken over a number of federal positions. And that's what's swooped in here, is to get rid of Mr. Trump and the conservative movement and to collapse the United States into the global community. That's really what's taking place in
sure.
front of our eyes. It's sort of like, how do you cook a frog? Well, a little bit at a time on the stove. You put them in a pan of water. You don't turn on the stove high. You just very, very slow, very warm, and after a while, he's cooked.
Yeah.
That's what's been happening in the United States. And then Trump comes in, and he stopped a lot of it and went ahead and removed us from a lot of the global community. And, boy, did that just angered the elites, and they did everything they could to get him out. Well, it looks like they've won, but we shall see.
Well, we've been doing shows on China for 2 years, and I think anybody who's been listening to this program knows that they had no interest in having Trump have a second term, and everything
to
gain by having Biden in the driver's seat.
Absolutely. No, China did not want Trump in again.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked diligently, and they're part of what's going on here. We have fact-based evidence that China was clearly involved with the Dominion system and the very tightly coordinated process to alter this election. We have the evidence on that.
Nice. Well, we know you have to go because we had a little time fumble there between, you know, that's the one thing. I can cut and paste, you can't cut and paste, but neither one of us knows time zones. We both suck at that. We need Bill to come in and be the arbiter of time.
We need smarter people than you and me, Aaron.
Yeah, we always have to be on the phone. Okay, what's your watch say? Okay, my watch says, like, I actually looked it up too. I mean, I didn't even just guess. I looked it up. I thought we were on the same time. I guess we're not on the same time. Boo.
We're not. So I apologize to you guys.
No, it's all right.
You're just awesome. And maybe if the check clears this time, I can come back on the show sooner than
sweet
what,
June.
Yeah.
No, as soon as you have something, come on. Even if we only do like a little update, because really and truly, there is a lot of just cuckoo stuff out there about this.
It's amazing how much misinformation is out there.
People are really mad and they want to know what they can do and all that. So I really do hope that they go. Let's see. So it's videocasts is the link at Prescott, Prescott News. So if you look up Prescott E News, there's a link right there. And when you go to it, look up videocasts, and you'll see Dr. Lyle Rapacki in there. And you can get more detail, obviously, than we could do today. But We look forward to having you guys back on and kind of unpeeling this, because we have a large audience outside the country, and so some of those people, I'm just guessing, they live in some of the places maybe who were players in this, and I think they'd like to know.
Well, and also a lot of those folks are living in countries where this has happened to them.
Yeah, they're like, hey, welcome to our world.
Yeah.
Venezuela.
Bill, you're absolutely right. I think they are far more advanced than we are. They know how this is done, the other countries. And they're far more learned than most Americans. Most Americans have no clue what has happened still, and they deserve an answer. And that's part of what we're working on, is trying to deliver to the American people, to we the people.
Well, it's like you say, we've never had anything like this in this country before. I mean, yeah, there's always been a little bit of fraud, but you know, they always say it's not there. But fraud on this level's never happened before in this country. And frankly, people don't know how to handle it. It's like, what?
You are very right on. And their anger, their fear, is so palpable that, you know, when all of a sudden something doesn't happen in 24, 48 hours or within 5 days, they are just petrified. But behind the scenes, we've been clipping along like a herd of turtles, but we're clipping along. We've uncovered stuff. We're getting the right process, getting it in the right process. So it is happening. We knew that we were hoping we would have more before January 20th. We were hoping. And yet we also knew, which we didn't discuss, that a lot of forces were at work to drag this out, to slow talk this. Mm-hmm. Well, we're at a point where it's the state Senate that is now getting ready to move forward and conduct. They won't conduct, but they'll have the forensic team to conduct the Homeland Security, cybersecurity people conduct this. And I know who they are. I've been working. They've been part of the Giuliani team, but they also are independent, national certified forensic people. So,
well, that's good, because we haven't had a whole lot of luck with the folks within our own Justice Department getting to the bottom of things. I'm in the process of reading Greg Jarrett's book, Witch Hunt. And tell you what, you want to light your hair on fire, highly recommend it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you guys very, very much. Talk to you soon, I hope.
Thanks a million. And
thanks for coming on,
Lyle. Go change the world down there in Arizona. Thanks, Dr. Lyle.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
We will be anticipating our next program with him. And so we've kind of, you know, pushed around our breaks and done some stuff like that just so that we could maximize the time with him. But we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
And I wonder if I'm really with you now, or just chasing after some
the Arizona shout out. Good job, Arizona.
Yeah. My only concern is, you know, we already had Pennsylvania say, hey, we got problems with ours, and they still certified their vote. Arizona steps up, decertifies theirs. The feds are going to say, well, we've already certified it. It's not, doesn't matter.
I don't We're not far enough to know how that works yet. But
if enough of them get on
board.
But
the Pennsylvania guys, they didn't decertify their vote. That was the thing. They didn't make a move to decertify. They asked the House to decertify it, to vote not to accept their slate of electors.
Until they did some more investigation.
Right.
Correct.
But they had already submitted their electors, which kind of left them in a position to say they could object to it. But then that went to a full vote of the House, which, of course, turned into a big zero.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a loser. So Dr. Lyle bailed on us a teensy bit early, and we don't usually just talk about nothing, although we do like doing that. You know, we do it all day.
Oh, yeah.
Together, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I talk about nothing with you all the time. It's actually quite entertaining.
It's not totally unusual.
Yeah, no.
You know, I know we had Congressman LaMalfa on last week, and I put a bunch of stuff on the page. I don't know how much people were able to take in on that, but it would be worth hitting a couple of things on that just to straighten out some misconceptions, because this year, I believe, we'll be having a budgetary train wreck. And, you know, people get really upset about that stuff, which I completely understand, but it's really important to know what you're looking at. It's really important to know that what you're looking at might not be exactly what's being represented to you. Because what does everyone say? You know, I don't trust anything the media tells me. But why are they mad? Oh, yeah, because they saw it on TV.
This whole internet thing. I mean, there's so much stuff. I have people send me stuff of claims people are making. And it's like, really? You really passed this on to me thinking it was real? I mean, it's so outlandish. You know, this last one they sent me was that we had 26,000 troops surrounding the Capitol because that wasn't to keep people out. That was to keep people in so they couldn't escape on inaugural day when they were going to start rounding everybody up.
Because they had flights going in and out of Guantanamo on an hourly basis.
They expanded Guantanamo to hold all the electorate. Yeah.
And they were secretly funneling them into Guantanamo, although no one had heard about it. And don't you think people miss those? I don't know. Yeah, you know, would have noticed that those people.
Well, then they put a call out for people not to go to the inauguration because they don't want them getting caught in the crossfire when the military, you know, starts blasting people because it's going to be bad.
Right.
So stay out of Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, just do that.
And that happened.
Just do that anyway.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of a bloodbath anyway.
If you're going to be there, be on Capitol Hill because the Capitol Police really are great. I don't know what happened.
Safe. The rest of it is.
But the Hill is very, very well.
I'll never forget the time we were in D.C. and we booked a hotel that was, you know, only a few blocks from the Capitol, except it was in the wrong direction. And we drove.
It was like on P Street or something. It was some alphabet letter that you shouldn't go below, like L, and we were on P or something.
Yeah, we drove by, and it was like, go. Don't stop.
It was a four-story walk-up. It was between two other multi-story walk-ups that were completely burned-out crack houses.
Oh, they were crack houses.
And that was like the Best Western.
It was like, no.
In the middle.
I'll pay the $160 a night to stay somewhere safe.
We stayed
safe
in the Ritz.
Yeah, we
remember
did.
Remember that?
We stayed in a nice place.
There was a TV in the bathroom.
To be safe.
We were like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Is this what people are doing? We didn't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah. It had a TV in the bathroom. Okay, it had a phone on the toilet. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was. It had all the amenities.
How old are we? Do you remember how much it was?
I thought it was like $160.
Totally $160.
Yeah, and that was way back.
I know.
I mean, that was like crazy.
And we were like, are you kidding me now? You can't stay in Washington, D.C. for $160 in the crack house.
And the crack house is probably more than that now.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's when Bill learned about coldness.
Oh, gosh, it was cold.
He's like, those guys back there, what are they all wearing those long coats for? That's so weird. I'm like, because it's really cold. Oh, well, I've been in the cold before. I grew up in Calusa.
Yeah, I said it just like that, too. Yeah.
You did. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
No,
you heard a lot more than that
before.
When I was back there, because it was cold to your bones cold.
It was a new kind of cold.
Yeah,
Bill.
It was so cold. You're walking down the street towards your car, and you're pacing yourself like, I got just enough steps to get there. I'm almost there. You know, it's like five more miles to Marianne's.
Like,
you know,
party.
I mean, it was. Oh, I never felt so good to get in the car and turn the heat on. Holy mackerel! Yeah, it was cold.
That's sad.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, I thought we should probably play the congressman's 1 minute speech, because I have to say we didn't want to labor on it last week when he was on because we wanted information from him, but really, really interesting that, you know, you think a 1 minute speech, like, who cares? But I got to tell you, it lit a fuse from all over the country. His offices, the phones have been burning up. People calling that are really excited, really happy that somebody stood up. And I have to say, there are, I remember when he was first elected in 2013 to Congress. And, you know, everybody thought, oh, geez, he's going to go back there, drink the weird Kool-Aid and become, you know, I hear and I obey. And we were kind of worried about it. So we figured, well, after a couple of months, it's like, so I remember I asked him, so, you know, how many people are normal back there? Because we, what do we see, like six members of Congress on television? I mean, we don't see the bulk of the people. So I remember I asked him, I go, how many of these people are regular? Like, we would like them. If we met them, they would think like we do, and they're pretty normal. And at that time, I think the Republican caucus was probably 210 or something like that. They were in majority, 220. And I remember he said like 180 of them. And I was kind of blown away. I thought, wow, there's a lot more people that think like we do than don't. But the media has a vested interest in making sure that you only hear from the ones that are cuckoo and weird and, you know, scare you to death, so that you can make sure that you hate everybody else, mm-hmm. which is always kind of funny. So the way that the impeachment thing went in the House, the Republicans had 60 minutes to make their case, and the Democrats had 60 minutes to make their case. Well, 435 members of the House, so 60 minutes on each side didn't go very far. But Congressman Jim Jordan asked him if he wanted to pipe up and say anything. So he ran into the cloakroom with a little piece of paper and made some notes and scurried out and let him have it. And I have to say, it was a little bit exciting for people. They were like, that guy said what I was thinking. So anyway, I thought we'd play it again because it was kind of worth it. Hit it, Travis.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second annual impeachment show extravaganza, brought to you by the censors and left-wing media, the fact-checked ministers of shutdown and big tech, and the Democrat Party. Today, the second annual impeachment of President Trump isn't really about actual words spoken out of rally. No. This is all about, Madam Speaker, the unbridled hatred of this president. You use any extreme language and any process to oppose the core of what he has really fought for. You hate him because he is pro-life, strongest ever. You hate him for fighting for the freedom of our religion to not be persecuted by unfair mandates and limitations on speech. You hate him for not subscribing and shackling us with the religion of climate change and one-sided Paris Accords. You hate him for Israel. You hate him for defending our borders. You hate him for letting families and small businesses keep what they earn, for trying to keep the agents of government off their back. You hate him for putting America first, which is what I thought we'd do when we swear the oath. No, this shabby show isn't about a threat to our republic. This is the impeachment and muting of at least half of the American people. This is shameful and abuse of a process.
The gentleman's time has expired. The gentleman from New York.
Give the gentleman additional 20 seconds.
The gentleman from Ohio, yields you another 20 seconds.
I pray people of all stripes wake up to this spectacle and exercise their rights to put a stop to it through free speech and through fair elections.
Yeah, it was a good list. Kind of hit all the things people were thinking. You can get a lot done in a minute. Who knew? But, you know, and if you happen to be in a place where you have a representative that maybe isn't super outspoken, maybe they'll get there. Not everybody's a really, you know.
Well, 400 plus in the House, and you don't hear from but a very small fraction of them.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I would always encourage people, you know, it's always a big thing now, you know, well, so-and-so isn't conservative enough or whatever. The folks on our side of the aisle, we like to beat up our own people. And I guess at this point, it's like, hey, let's work on the people that are not going our direction. You know, if they're going our way 60% of the time, maybe we don't you know, maybe we don't point our cannons at them just right now, because we got a whole lot of people that wouldn't work with us on anything ever.
Right.
So, I don't know. This just seems misguided. Everybody wants to primary everybody who's on the Republican side because they're not doing what they want. And it's like, gosh, you know, let's swing that and get rid of Nancy before we shoot our own guys in the back, even if they're not our favorite. Maybe they're just not our favorite. I did want to post something again. I'm moving it over onto today's page as well. The House calendar. We didn't really talk about it. I posted it last week, and I put some notes on there if people read it. But it's really worth taking a look at. It's a good visual. The 2018-19 calendar, the last session, you can see that they're in session in some cases 4 weeks out of the month. Actually, in January, they were there all or part of every week in January. All or part. So that's a lot of vote time. In session is vote time. That's not committee time and all that. You know, they're doing that otherwise. But when you start looking at the voting time, the new calendar that came out in December, and they canceled next week. So in January, they were in session the first week when they were all sworn in, and they're in session 4 days at the end of the month. Now, some people are like, they should get their pay cut, blah, blah, blah. No, 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 you're missing the point. When they're not in session,
they're not
smell the freedom.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're not passing any laws. So if Nancy thought she had a big swinging agenda, she would be in session all the time so they could vote.
Although they are going to be in session, 6 days a week now with this whole impeachment thing. That'll
be in the Senate.
Oh, okay.
That's in the Senate.
Right, that's in the Senate.
So the good news is they're not there. I mean, they're not going to be in session. They might be back there. They might be, you know, and they're always working. There's always stuff in the district to be done. But go look at those calendars. They're at the tail end of the page behind Dr. Lyle Rapacki's information. And I really do hope you go take a look at it because it's very telling.
Well, maybe they're not going to be in session because they're figuring Joe's just going to executive order everything they want.
Which actually would be great because then the minute somebody else is in there,
they can reverse it all.
You bring out the jumbo presidential eraser and off it goes. You don't commit it to legislation. It's not permanent. But they don't have a lot. And so it's just be careful what you're being told. I've already had people send me, I think it was 5717 was the number of the bill, H.R. 5717. And, oh, my God, it's taking away all our gun rights, blah, blah, blah. Okay, hot tip. Go to congress.gov. Super easy to remember, congress.gov. You go there, you put in the bill number. That's the record of Congress. It's not an opinion site. It's not a news site. Nobody edits it. It's just the record of what happens. And when you put that bill in, oh, hey, hot tip. It was put in at the beginning of 2020. No one ever did anything. Oh, wait, and the guy that wrote it, the guy that authored it,
right.
He's my favorite guy. Okay, my hint, Guam.
Guam's going to flip over.
Guam's going to flip over. Hank Johnson from Georgia.
Yep.
He was the one who wrote it. That should help you right there. But that legislation died at the end of last year. So it's not a bill anymore. So if people are sending you things about, oh, my God, look what they just did, find out the bill number, go to congress.gov, put that in. If it isn't in this year's, if it wasn't put in 2021, it died already. So they could reinstitute it, sure. But look at the committees it's got to go to. Look at the activity.
So they have to go through the whole thing again to get it. Yeah.
And you look at activity. There's a section there. You can just click on it. It says activity. And when you see nothing happened except the bill was introduced and it was like 6 or 8 months ago, nap time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it was like somebody's big brainstorm to get everybody all jacked up, and then it never went anywhere.
Well, plus they get to say, hey, look what I introduced. It's worthless.
It is worthless. Yeah. So, not to worry. Just make sure that you're looking at things that are real. And
right.
Remember that the media that you think lies to you all the time, they're still there. They're still there. And their goal is to make you afraid and think that the world's coming to an end. And hey, not to say that, you know, there's not some bad stuff going on.
You know, but and people are all concerned, and rightfully so, that they're going to take your gun rights, they're going to squash free speech. The only way they're going to be able to do that is executive order, which can be overturned. And it's not going through the House.
And they can't change the Constitution with an executive order. So just, you know, make sure things are real. Call your local congressional office or your, if it's a state thing, call your state senator or assemblyman, and just make sure the things you're worried about are real. And if you have guests for us, please shoot us a note. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. The end of the world. Nice. See you next week. It's